Pastor Jim.
Well, thank you again, Pastor. I appreciate, as I said the other day and today, the invitation to be just to be able to come out and share this prophecy, prophetic message with you all. It's our people in our church have heard it so much, I think they could probably get up here and replace me. But it's always good to keep this message in the forefront of our thinking, because He's coming back, and we don't want to ever let that get away, that thought get away from us. So tonight, we're going to conclude what we started, and I'm excited. This is one of my favorite subjects here, and I hope it will be for you too. Did you all get a handout, one of those handouts?
Was there one we missed last night since I wasn't here, or was this?
We've only got these two handouts. Did you all get one of the original handouts? Did anybody miss that? Okay. We'll give you one.
We can always make more.
We have plenty. I just want to be sure everybody, because we're going to run this timeline out on this first timeline that you see. We're going to run that out to the end tonight. So let's turn in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 5. We're going to be talking about the two resurrections. And this subject I have found in my teaching and studying that people are confused with the resurrections, and there's a reason they're confused, and I understand it. Many people are confused with the rapture because of the second coming of Christ. There are two phases. The one is the rapture and his literal second coming, and people get confused with the two phases. Well, they also get confused with the resurrection. We're going to look at John 5:28-29. This is where Jesus tells us that there are two resurrections. 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So right there, Jesus is telling us there are two resurrections. We have to keep that in our mind. There are only two resurrections, one of life and one of damnation. And they are separated by at least 1,000 years, which we'll see here in our study. First of all, I want you to see on your chart that you have, on the two resurrections, you see the left-hand side of your chart, it says the resurrection of life, right? That bracket on the top. Now, what's interesting with the resurrection of life is that there are four phases of resurrection that take place under that umbrella or that bracket, that category of the resurrection of life. You see that bracket there, and you look underneath it, you see four different arrows pointing up. That is where your four resurrections take place in the scriptures and in this timeline that we're looking at. So the first one, you see the first arrow there on the left, that first arrow pointing up, it says at the top, Christ, the first fruits. That's 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus is the first one to raise from the dead. He is the first resurrection, the first fruits. And also, do you remember when Jesus rose from the dead in Matthew 27:50-53? Many bodies of the saints also came out of the graves. You remember that story? They went into Jerusalem. So Jesus was the first fruits, and some Old Testament saints rose with him at that time. And so, remember they came out of the graves, they went into the city, they were seen by those people who recognized them. They must not have been deceased for that long, because people still recognized who they were. Do you have that up there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me just read it with here. I don't have it in my Bible yet. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city, the holy city, and appeared unto many.
And I'm deaconing. Yes, sir. Oh, more.
Okay, I guess that's it. So they went into the city and they appeared to many people in the city. And so this is the first phase of the first resurrection. Christ came out first. These folks came out as after he resurrected. These folks came out. They went into the city and they were resurrected. They were the first to come out, okay? So the first arrow you see there is the first phase of the first resurrection. Now let's look at the second arrow. You see that second arrow? That is at the rapture of the church. That has not happened yet. That second arrow is the second phase of the first resurrection. It will happen when Jesus comes for his church. And we've seen that scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, where the dead in Christ shall rise first. Right? We've been talking about some of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That takes place when the rapture of the church takes place. That is the second phase of the first resurrection. It's under that bracket, that umbrella there. Now, if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, we'll see the next group that's going to, the next resurrection that takes place. 11:11. Remember the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, these two Old Testament type prophets who are going to be prophesying for 42 months or 3.5 years, 1260 days. They're going to be prophesying. These two witnesses do all kinds of miraculous things. They are slain by Satan. They're slain, and their dead bodies lay in the streets. Let me read that. 11:11. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, if you notice on your chart, you see the very bottom? That is the grave where these bodies are coming out of. The grave is these, the bodies are coming out of the grave and being resurrected. But you notice that middle where the tribulation witnesses come out of? Do you see an arrow coming out of the grave there?
No.
Why not? They were never buried. They were left in the street for 3.5 days before they were resurrected. They were resurrected and they also went into heaven. That is the third phase of the first resurrection. Does that make sense? I'm hoping I'm not losing you.
We got Christ in the first arrow, the rapture. So that's the first resurrection. He was the first fruits. Then we, which are in Christ.
The church.
The rapture. Then into the tribulation, you've got the two witnesses so far. Right?
That's the third phase of the first resurrection. Remember, Jesus says there's two of them. A resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. These people are all coming into the resurrection of life. And that's where people get confused, is that there is not just a single one-time event for the first resurrection. There are four phases of resurrection that takes place. The second resurrection we'll see is only a one-time event, and it takes place later. So, in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, we see the two witnesses resurrected. Now, when I say resurrected, I think maybe we need to think about that for a second. We're talking about when a person dies, their soul goes immediately, if you're born again and you're a Christian, your soul immediately goes to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your body then goes to the ground. It goes to be buried. So when we're talking about a resurrection, we're talking about the dead bodies coming back to life. and coming out of the ground and being resurrected with their, and their souls being reconnected with their bodies. Like in the rapture, for instance, the dead in Christ who are coming out of the grave, Christ brings their souls with them that are in heaven. They meet in the air and they're reunited. Their bodies are being put back together supernaturally. It's a glorified body like Christ had. You remember Jesus could walk through walls. He could appear and disappear. They're going to get a glorified body that is going to be reunited with their soul that has been in heaven. And they're going to be taken back to heaven. That is a resurrection of the body. That's what we're talking about here. So Jesus was resurrected in bodily form. You remember he appeared to his disciples and he says, touch me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He was a physical body raised from the dead. Now we're going to look at the third or the fourth phase of this first resurrection, that fourth arrow pointing up. And this takes place right at the end of the 7-year period of tribulation. It takes place when Christ comes back at Armageddon. When he comes back, there will be another resurrection. And you know who will be at this resurrection? Old Testament saints and tribulation martyrs. Remember, during this tribulation period, there are going to be many people killed for their faith. Their dead bodies will either be however they take care of their dead bodies during the tribulation. They will be raised back to life. Their bodies will be raised again. Along with, they believe, most Bible commentators believe the Old Testament saints will raise at this time. Remember, this 70th week is for who? Daniel's people it's for Daniel's people, Israel. So yes, these people, they believe that is when God, the 70th week of Daniel, is dealing with Daniel's people. And so doesn't it only make kind of sense for the Daniel's people of Old Testament times to be resurrected there when Christ comes back to earth to set up his kingdom? Let's look at a couple verses there on that. Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5. Well, let's look at Isaiah 26 first. 26, 19 and 20. These are verses, Old Testament verses, pointing to the resurrection of the dead and referring specifically to Israel. Isaiah 26, 19.
Try to pull all these up for you. If you guys follow along behind them, I should have them up behind.
Okay. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. That we're talking about the tribulation period. When that's overpassed, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So there will be a resurrection at the end of the tribulation period when God, when he comes and the indignation is overpassed, there will be a resurrection. That's talking about Old Testament saints for probably and definitely for the tribulation martyrs. Now Daniel chapter 12, 1 verse 1 and 2. This is a great verse. I just love it. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. This time of trouble is the tribulation period. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now listen to this. Many of them that slept or sleep in the dust, they're dead. They shall the dust of the earth, they shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's our two resurrections. And this is dealing with the end of the tribulation period. And probably the Jews will be resurrected. Old Testament saints will be resurrected. Well, all Old Testament will be resurrected. Some to life and some to damnation or judgment. Everlasting contempt. And we're going to see that in just a minute. So we have four arrows pointing up, right? That takes us to the end of the tribulation period. That is the end of the first resurrection. Now I want to look at Revelation chapter 20. If you would go there with me. We're going to read this whole 20th chapter. It's got so much in it that we have to take the time to really look at that. In fact, let me back up just a little bit to 19. Chapter 19 is Christ coming back at Armageddon. And as I was telling Pastor tonight earlier, the book of Revelation is in chronological order from front to back. And there are portions of Scripture in the Revelation that are parenthetical passages. In other words, you know, if you're reading a sentence and it's got a parenthesis around it, that is just giving detail of something there, right? Well, there are whole chapters in the book of Revelation that are parentheses, they're parenthetical chapters or portions of Scripture that don't advance the narrative. And many times that causes confusion in the way we read it because it all of a sudden stops and it's given details of what's happening at that time. And if you were to take those passages and go past them or skip over them, you'd see it just flows right on through. And right now, in chapter 19 of Revelation, Jesus comes back to earth at Armageddon. And I want you to see something at the end of chapter 19. Let's see, verse 20. And the beast was taken, that is the Antichrist, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. When Christ comes back, the enemies of Armageddon, the enemies of Christ who are gathered in the Valley of Megiddo for this battle of Armageddon, will be all destroyed. And the Antichrist, which is a man, the false prophet, which is a man, will instantly be cast into the lake of fire. No one is there yet. They will be the first. And we're going to see here in a minute that after 1,000 years, they're still there. So let's look on. Let's go into chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, verse 1, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now I want you to notice that 1,000 years. You might want to circle that or highlight that because you're going to see that word 1,000 years 6 times in this passage. And I want you to understand, or I want you to think about understanding how if God has said something 6 times in a short passage of Scripture, I think we need to take it literally. I think we need to believe what He says and not try to spiritualize it or make it say something other. If He says 1,000 years, I believe He's saying that there's going to be 1,000 years. And that is the millennial kingdom. So when Christ comes back, He sets up His millennial kingdom. The Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, put in a bottomless pit, and he's going to be sealed so that he will not be on the earth through this 1,000-year period of time. So he, okay, verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, doesn't that seem literal to you? He gets put in the pit for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's let out of the pit to deceive the nations. He's going to be the nations. He's going to only be loosed for a little season because his end will be short-lived when he comes out of the pit. But this is literal. He goes in, he's coming out, but there's 1,000-year period of time between his going in and his coming out. Now, verse number 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's the third time he says it. These folks who were tribulation martyrs, who gave their life for Christ, they lost their head for Christ. They are going to be resurrected from the dead at the end of the tribulation, and they will rule and reign with Christ. Like we, the church, will also rule and reign with Christ. Now, verse number 5. But the rest of the dead, here we go. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, but the rest of the dead won't live again for 1,000 years. There's that word again, literally 1,000 years. So the rest of the dead are those who will come at, who will be resurrected at the end of the 1,000-year period. We'll see that in a moment. I love verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him how long? 1,000 years. Now listen, this is dealing with all those within the first resurrection. That deals with the raptured saints, with the two witnesses, with the tribulation saints, all of those who are resurrected in that first resurrection. Remember, there's four phases of it. All in that will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's where what we're going to be doing. We're either going to rule and reign with him through resurrection or through rapture. Either way, we're serving Jesus. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. That's good news.
Amen.
Verse number 7. Now here's where it gets ugly. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now here's what happens. Satan goes in the bottomless pit at the beginning of the millennial kingdom when Christ comes back. He's bound up. During the millennial kingdom, there will be people who survive the tribulation. During that tribulation, people will actually survive it. One-third of the Jews will survive, and people around the world will survive. They will be sorted out, Matthew 25 tells us, like the sheep from the goats. The sheep will enter into the kingdom of God. The goats will be destroyed. I'm talking about people, the saved and the unsaved. The only people who will go into the kingdom of God, into the millennial kingdom, are believers. Born again people who are following Jesus. Now the problem is, as generations go on, we have children, we have grandchildren. During the millennial kingdom, it is going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Except men will not be sinless. Men will still have a sin nature, will be born with a sin nature, but Satan won't be there to tempt them. He will be bound in the bottomless pit. So as people begin to procreate and live, most will live 1,000 years through that time, because you remember the Garden of Eden, how long they were living? That's the way it's going to be in the millennial kingdom. The lion will lay down with the lamb. You'll be able to pick up the serpents. This is found in Isaiah many chapters in Isaiah, the conditions of the millennial kingdom. But here's what happens toward the end of the millennial kingdom. When Satan is loosed, he's going to try to deceive this world one more time. And when he does, those people who had a appearance of godliness but weren't saved are going to follow him. The grandchildren, great-grandchildren of those days that may have been, you've taken them to Jerusalem to worship Jesus, the King of Kings, from his throne in Jerusalem. He's going to be ruling and reigning. And as he's there, people will go to worship him, but they've not been tested yet. They've not been tempted. And what's going to happen is, when he is loosed, he's going to tempt this world one more time. And what did that say? It said in the bottom of chapter 8, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. If you can imagine people living in a perfect environment, a perfect world, perfect place, and as the sand of the sea, they're going to follow that deceiver one more time. Just absolutely mind-boggling. So what do they do? He sends them around. It seems like all the saints that were genuine saints retreated to that city of Jerusalem where they would find shelter. They retreat there. And it says Satan rallied all these people to surround Jerusalem to try to wipe them out one more time. And guess what happens? God doesn't give them a second chance. Fire comes down and destroys them all. Now they're out of the way. Now, we got to deal with the devil. Are you ready for this? Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was then cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Did you catch that? There, he's thrown in where the beast and the false prophet are still there. Folks, there's people out there that teach that they teach soul sleep, they teach annihilation, that there's no hell, there's no torment, there's no suffering. That beast and that false prophet are in the lake of fire for 1,000 years and they're still there. They've not been annihilated, they've not been consumed, and the devil gets thrown in there right with them. They're still there and they're going to be there forever and forever. They're going to be tormented day and night. Forever and forever. That takes place. This battle, when he's loosed, that happens at the end of the millennial kingdom, at the end of that 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now here's what happens next. Here's the second resurrection. Remember, the first resurrection of life had four phases, four different times they're being resurrected. They're all resurrected to life. They're all going to rule and reign with Christ. Now here's the second resurrection. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we see the second resurrection. All the dead from all the way back to Cain or Abe or Adam and Eve, if they didn't make it, I don't know. I've heard different stories, different philosophies. Did they get saved? There's different opinions. But it goes all the way back there. The history of mankind, all the wicked dead who missed out on Jesus, who never served God, they will all be resurrected. There have been people's bodies in the graves now for 6,000 years, the time of this earth. 6,000 years they've been in the grave, or they've been in the bottom of the sea. How about Noah's flood? Everybody was lost in Noah's flood except Noah, right? So the whole world's inhabitants were swallowed up by the sea and eaten by the fishes and disposed all over the bottom of the ocean. The sea is going to give up the dead. Death and hell are going to give up the dead. The grave. All these wicked dead in the history of mankind are going to come out at this great white throne of judgment at the end of the tribulation. Look at the map. Look at your chart. Do you see what's happening there? They're being resurrected from the grave. They're going up to this great white throne, and they're coming right back down to the lake of fire. That's not a very pretty picture, is it?
Is that where we get every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Yes, I would say that's probably it.
Whether they believe or not, they're going to know.
Everybody in the history of the... Well, here's what I want you to see, maybe. I preached a message once on this called Worse Than Hell. The lake of fire is worse than hell because it absorbs hell within it. It is going to be worse. And here's what makes it worse. These people, many of them have had their souls entrapped in Hades, or in the Old Testament equivalent, Sheol. Their souls have been in this place of torment for 5,000-6,000 years, some very recent. They're there now. When they are released, have you ever heard of a prisoner who's interviewed in prison? Are there any of them that are guilty? Huh? None of them are guilty. And I have a feeling what's going to happen here is they're going to have a resurrected body. It's not going to be a glorified body in the sense that they're going to, what it's going to be is a body resurrected to be able to live forever, to not be consumed in the flames of hell. This body, they're going to have their soul released from that place of torment. They're going to have their body reunited. They're going to be standing in line to face that great white throne. Can you hear the conversations? I've been telling them all these years I've been innocent. Now I'm going to be free. They're all thinking they're free. They get up to that great white throne and the books are opened. And here, the books are their works, probably. They're going to be judged by what they've done in those books. And there's still going to be people who say in these books, I'm innocent, I didn't do that. And then they're going to open the next book, and it's the book of life, and their name won't be in it. And that's going to be their final nail in their eternity. But can you imagine how these people think that they're free and they're standing in the brilliance of that great white throne and thinking, man, this is the greatest thing we've ever had. And now they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's worse than hell because they thought they were free. They thought they've served their time. Their time is just beginning. And that death and hell, the graves are going to be, the sea is going to deliver up all those wicked dead. All those souls are going to be reunited to face this last judgment, the great white throne. That's the bad news for them. Look at the good news now, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven. Pastor read that this morning. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That takes us to the last column of our chart here, the eternal state, which is a new heaven and a new earth. It also, in your other chart, you'll see the same thing. New heaven and a new earth, the lake of fire there, those are eternal things. But what we have here is two resurrections that Christ talked about, a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of life takes place in four phases. The resurrection of damnation is a one-time event that covers all of mankind. What's interesting to me is that in this millennial kingdom, if there were any righteous people saved, or righteous people who died of natural causes or whatever, if there were any righteous people, there's no resurrection of life at the end. It's only damnation. So that kind of says to me that these people who serve Christ through the millennial kingdom will live the entire length of the millennial kingdom. Because there's no resurrection of life at the end. It's only a resurrection of damnation. Only the ones who were put to death for crimes or whatever during the tribulation will be, and if they're put to death, they will face that resurrection of damnation at the end. But I believe that righteous people who serve Christ through that time will live the entire length of it. So, there you have it, folks. I want to conclude this with reading one more verse. Verse number 6 of 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's where we want to be, folks. That's where we want to be, the resurrection of life. That brings us to the end of our timeline.